You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. God will punish the wicked, but will spare his children. Discover more about this truth in week 4 of our series, Remember This.
Alright, good morning everyone. We are down to the 4th installment of our series called Remember This. When we started the series, we said that one of the goals that we have in our book study on the book of Malachi is we seek to understand that the book of Malachi is more than just Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Alright, we said that this Malachi is more than Malachi 3:10. People think that whenever we quote Malachi 3:10, they think of it as Malachi 3:10. It's way more than that, as we have seen the past 3 Sundays. And we wish to unpack the last chapter, rather, of the book of Malachi. You can turn your Bibles with me to Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. We're going to jump to chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 to verse 6. It says here, "Then those who fear the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And I will turn the hearts of the fathers to your children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." While I was looking at the last chapter of the book of Malachi, one thing is very clear, specifically this chapter right here, while I was studying it. You know, I realized that there's no better way to approach, you know, Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, other than through exposition. I think that's the best thing for us to really understand what it really is all about. And as we are making an exposition here today, we're going to look at it, we're going to dissect this verse by verse, and hopefully we have the time to do all of those. I want us to understand the tone of Malachi chapter 4 is actually about heaven and hell. Let me just lay down a factual statement that I have derived biblically. And this is a factual statement that I wish to say as early as now, and then we're going to go back to this a little later, and it is this one. Not a single sin will go unpunished. Okay, so you kind of get a tone of what we're looking at here. We're going to be talking about sin, we're going to be talking about hell, we're going to be talking about heaven, and we're going to be talking about the judgment in the last days. Not a single sin will go unpunished. The book of Malachi is actually a series of disputations. When we say disputation, it's actually talking about an argument or debate between God and his people. You know, the book of Malachi has 6 disputations in 4 chapters. God will say something, and then his people will respond or will make a rebuttal sarcastically. So, for example, in the first disputation, it talks about God saying to the Israelites, "I have loved you." And their question to that is, "How have you loved us?" There's a sarcastic tone when it comes to the response of God's people toward him. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is that I want us to understand that if you start reading the last chapter of the book of Malachi, one thing is certain, you're going to arrive at a conclusion. And that conclusion is, at the end of the day, God has the last say. We may have an attitude of arrogance, we may be sarcastic to God as we converse with God, but at the end of the day, nothing can change the fact that God has the last say. Over the past how many years, there's been a lot of strife, divisiveness, discussions, debates between Christians and non-Christians,
between Christians and Christians, denomination and denomination, about several things, same-sex marriage, political views, whatever topic that you can think of, okay, hot topics in our world today. We may be saying so many things. At the end of the day, say what we want to say, but God has the last say. It is true before, it is true today, it is going to be so true in the future. Bible is very clear, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain. Say what we want to say, but at the end of the day, we all have to understand and embrace the fact that it is God who has the last say. At the end of the day, we cannot make God bend to our conditions. At the end of the day, we cannot make God bend to our lowered standards. At the end of the day, we have to understand that we are mere mortals, we are mere men before the presence of God. And I wish to make us understand, but for some of us, maybe whether you are a non-Christian or a Christian here today, if you're living a life that is a mockery before God, whether that is through our words or through our hypocrisy, if we mock God, God will not flinch at those mockery. At the end of the day, He remains to be God, and He still has the last say. In verse 18, it says here, "Then once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked." Okay, so you kind of get a picture that what God was saying here through the prophet Malachi is there is a clear distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Okay, now, how would you say that a person is righteous? How would you say that a person is wicked? Now, look at this one. In our context here today, and I want us to understand this. Apart from Christ, we are all wicked. There's nothing good in your life right now other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I can be standing here preaching. I can be standing there lifting my hands before God, worshiping here. But apart from the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the most wicked person. Okay? I am saying that because I don't want us to think or categorize people that just because that person is living that kind of life, he's more wicked than you are. And I'm saying that for us to be all the more thankful for the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you start looking at this distinction between the righteous and the wicked, of course, during their time, it is very clear that the righteous there are those who what? Who fear the Lord. Those who call upon His name. But in our generation right now, you are righteous because of Jesus' righteousness. And of course, the story of this is basically about salvation and damnation. Let me just be very clear here today as we end the book of Malachi. Salvation belongs to the righteous. Damnation or condemnation belongs to the wicked. A wicked person, at the end of the day, is anyone who is not in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would allow me to say that more plainly, a wicked person, categorically now, is someone who is not a Christian. When the Bible starts talking about the enemies of God, I want you to understand that we were the enemies of God. But because of Malachi chapter 1 verse 2, he says, "I have loved you." It talks about what? It talks about election. It talks about His adoption. We don't deserve anything, just like Jacob or Abraham didn't deserve anything. But God, because of His grace, because of His sovereignty, just chose you, nothing good about us, to simply be a recipient of His grace. Malachi chapter 4 is basically about salvation and damnation. And if you would allow me to read verse 16, it says here, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed His name." Let me just talk about one of the benefits of a righteous person. Let me just talk about your benefit. One of our benefits is this one. The Lord pays attention. Insecurity has never been magnified until this generation. With social media and everything, at the end of the day, there's always a longing for attention. And I want you to understand this, because you are righteous, by virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, God pays attention to your needs. He pays attention to every single thing that we are doing. Do you folks think that God is not paying attention to your sacrifices for His kingdom? Do you think God didn't pay attention to your generosity? Do you think God didn't pay attention to your passion to live a pure and holy life? The Bible is very clear. He pays attention. His ears are close to those who are mourning. His ears are close even to the widows, the Bible says. In fact, NASB, it says there, the Lord gave attention and heard it. NRSV says, the Lord took note and listened. According to Andrew Hill, he said, the combination of the verbs to listen and to hear indicates the Lord's deep interest in the people of God and His ready willingness to notice and respond to the words of the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 17, it says here, the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them, He delivers them from all their troubles. Psalm 66, verses 19 to 20, it says here, but God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer nor withheld His love from me. In John chapter 9, verse 31, this is very clear that God listens to worshipers. Bible is very clear, John chapter 9, verse 30, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him. And the second part of verse 16 says here, those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteem His name. Malachi was very clear that if you fear the Lord and esteem His name, something happens to you. And it says here, because you fear the Lord and esteem His name, you shall be called mine. The Lord will call you mine. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. Let me now go to chapter 4, verse 1. Last Thursday, I had the privilege of attending the School of Campus Ministry, the graduation or recognition day of MAV. And there were 33 of them who graduated from different parts of the Philippines. That's during their commencement exercises. They're part of the 18th batch of the School of Campus Ministry. And, you know, just like in any recognition day, everyone will get their certificates. Everyone will have to have the chance to go up the stage and they will be recognized. They will be given their certificates. As is the case in any recognition day, special awards are given. Is there anyone here who graduated summa cum laude? A friend of mine said that summa cum laude is Latin for the highest honor. Any achiever in this house, you when you graduated or during recognition day, you had a lot of medals. Sobrang dami ng medal mo, wala na, kailangan mo na isabit sa Christmas tree. We all have attended a recognition day. One thing is very clear, whether you like or hate recognition day, it is inevitable. Meaning to say, it's calendared. It is going to happen. Whether you are a faithful student, whether you are a diligent student or not, whether you have complete attendance or not, recognition day is inevitable. You will have to be there, and you could either be awarded or not. Now, I want you to understand this. Going back to verse 1, it says here, for behold, the day is coming. What are we talking about here? In the book of Malachi is very clear that there will come a time wherein people from all walks of life will have to be in a place. And we will all stand before God and give an account for how we lived our life. I am not here to say when that day is. I am not here to speculate when that day will be. But all I know is that the day will come. It has been calendared by God. The day is coming here talks about the day of the Lord. And that is basically what Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 to 3 is all about. Like if you study the book of Malachi, you would come to understand that this is about the day of the Lord. And it starts talking about what? It talks about heaven and hell. It talks about a judgment and reward. It talks about salvation and damnation. Okay, so you kind of get a picture that this is basically the tone of Malachi chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. The day of the Lord is a succession of events that culminates in what? In the judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ, His second coming, our resurrection from the dead, our bodily resurrection. Okay, you're going to have a glorious body one of these days. Amen. The Bible is very clear. If you are a Christian, you're going to be caught up in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be two emotions during that time. Joy for the Christian, terror for the non-Christian. Salvation for the Christian man, condemnation for the non-Christian. And folks, this is not some made-up story from any sci-fi film. It's right there in the Bible, clearly laid out for every single one of us. The day of the Lord is the best day for every believer. The day of the Lord is the worst day for every unbeliever. That's why I'm telling you, there's going to be two kinds of emotions during that time. At the end of the day, we have to understand this. All of us in this room, life will have an end. We're smart enough to know that we don't know when our life will end. And we're not too smart to know for us to make a conclusion when the day of the Lord will come. And in hell, folks, there's going to be a conscious, eternal torment. I am saying conscious because we are going to be in our bodily form. I am saying eternal because this is going to be forever. I'm not here to scare us. In fact, I am saying that because I believe it is the mercy of God as to why you are here today. Well, I'm not here to sound so righteous or whatever. That is why I told you a while ago, apart from Christ, we'll be joining you in hell. But thank God for His grace, amen. Thank God for His mercy. The Bible gives us an analogy for what hell is like. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. Not just that, it says there, the day is coming, shall set them ablaze. Anyone here who loves baking? You folks know what I'm talking about when it starts talking about the heat of oven. It talks about burning like an oven, and that day is coming, shall set them. Not your surroundings. Not the table beside me. Not the tree beside me. Them ablaze. Eternal forever. Conscious. You feel the pain. But guess what? There's not gonna be any remorse in hell. Wala pong repentance sa hell. Our opportunity to repent is here. Not in hell. In hell, the curtains of grace is lifted up. You know, wildfire could last a week or two. And it costs a certain state millions of dollars in damages. You wouldn't want to be in the middle of that heat. Folks, listen carefully. That kind of surrounding stands in pale comparison to what hell is like. The burning in hell does not quench. Sorry po, wala pong bumbero sa impyerno. The burning in hell is eternal. The fire does not go out. People would say, Archie, you don't understand. If you're already, I think it's too dumb for a Christian to think that whenever they start reading the book of Revelation, whenever they start talking about hell, it's just what? It's just figurative speech or whatever. Pwede. But isn't it that the reality is more substantial than the figured speech? If I'm walking in a certain lake and I see a sign saying, do not swim, crocodiles are present, it will scare me. But nothing will scare me more if I start swimming and I really encounter a crocodile. So when the Bible talks about hell being a place of fire, put steroids on it, on your imagination. That's what it really looks like. Bible says it is a place where worms do not die. It is a place of both what? Fire and darkness. I don't know how you reconcile that. My appeal to everyone is very simple. Consider your eternal destiny. If you consider your life here on earth, you buy your term insurance, your VUL or whatever, you buy insurance for your security here, why not take some time to really think about your eternal security? For behold, the day is coming, burning like oven, where all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stabbed. Arrogant there talks about those who despise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what a stubble is? It's like the cut-off grass. What remains on the soil when you've already cut off the grass, that's what a stubble is. Good for nothing. Sometimes people will think, I think I'm fine. I am not a Christian, but I'm living the life. This is the life. In fact, the life of the Christians are more hellish than my life right now. That's true, maybe. But it doesn't mean that you're not being stuck up for burning in the future. Here's the reality. A lot of people have heard the gospel. Not too many people respond to the gospel if they don't have any need. That's why they're thinking, the day of the Lord. Okay, that pastor in Victory starts talking about the day of the Lord, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Well, I cannot refute those kinds of thoughts. I'm not going to say it's going to be on December 2. I think I'm still fine. I'm not living a hellish life. I think the week of the Lord is very long. God is patient with you. But again, it doesn't mean it is not going to come. That is why it's very clear here that the arrogant will have their place. For the non-Christian, this life is as close to heaven as they ever get. For the Christian, this is as close to hell as we ever get. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says here, "But for you fear my name." Okay, enough of talks about hell. Let's start talking about heaven. Amen. Okay lang ba? So, ingat tayo malalim. Ay, buti natapos siya. Tagal-tagal. 20 minutes rin yun. It says here, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." I want us to look at two words here. First is the Son of Righteousness. Take note of this one. It says Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N. Araw po to, araw. Bible says, in heaven, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. I don't have to explain to everyone that what the world needs at this hour is healing. It simply means to say, in heaven, there's not gonna be any need for chemotherapy. In heaven, there's not gonna be any need for wheelchair. There's not gonna be any diabetes, diarrhea. Eat all you want, whenever you want. There's not gonna be any emotional pain in heaven. In fact, two things are absent in heaven: sin and tears. There's not going to be any tears in heaven, folks. No heartbreaks. No physical pain. No one goes through a surgery. Hospitals will go bankrupt. God Himself was very clear. Time will come, folks, for the righteous, for the Christians. Bible is very clear. He will come to you and He Himself will wipe the tears in your eyes. Dude, no pimple in heaven. How you view hell is the opposite of what heaven is like. It's going to be a glorious time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, take note of this one. When we love worshiping God during your quiet time here every Sunday, folks, listen, in heaven, you get to do that 24 hours, 7 days a week. Not thinking about your work, not thinking about whether you're going to have money on your ATM or not. You're just going to enjoy the presence of God for the rest of your life. My mom-in-law, they're staying in Ohio. There's only one thing that they want to do during winter time. They want to leave the States. They just want to go to someplace tropical. I think that's the precise reason why a lot of Western people would come to visit the Philippines on December. But for us Filipinos, we love that. We want to play with snow. While our foreigner friends would want to get a tan, we shy away from the sun. We don't want to get dark. We want to be like you. But here's the thing. When it's too cold and too dark for a very long time, you're going to long for the sun. In fact, a place that is too cold and too dark, the rate of depression actually increases. People stay at home, they cannot go out, they feel lonely for a reason that they don't understand. It's just that you're confined in your home, you cannot do some work as you can do during fall or during summer. And there's one thing that they want to see. They want to see what? The sun. To a certain extent, the moment the sun comes out, it brings about what? Rejuvenation. It brings about healing in their bodies. Folks, guess what the Bible says? The Son of Righteousness in heaven after a dark and cold time here on earth. This is not the sun that we're talking about. This is not the sun that we have now. In heaven, there's not going to be any sun because the book of Revelation says when Jesus comes, His glory is like the sun. His glory will light the place. His glory will bring about healing in our physical bodies, emotions, every single thing, every pain will have to come to an end. Folks, that is what we have in heaven. And I hope and pray when you market your friends in heaven, you would market it as you would market Boracay. Heaven is not just a place where you see baby angels with diapers and stuff like that. Read your Bible. Folks, it's far better than that. It's worth sharing to the people around you. It's worth telling them what heaven is like. Then it says here, you shall go out, leaping like cubs from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I access the Lord of hosts. It says here, you shall go out leaping like cubs. The picture of that is like this. Many of you know that we have two puppies at home. We have two dogs named Coco and Crunch. Coco is a homebody. Coco loves to stay at home. She likes food, very much like me. Crunch, on the other hand, every single day, cannot wait to go out of the house to run around the house. Crunch is a sporty type. She loves running around like 5:30 in the morning. She has to be out. Every 1 hour, she needs to be out running around the house. Here's one thing I've noticed about Crunch. Every time we would go home, and I call someone and ask someone to open a gate for me, I always hear Crunch barking on the background. Meaning to say, she kind of understands that when the phone rings, Archie's coming home. When Archie's coming home, the door should be opened. So here she is limping like crazy, waiting for the door to get open. So the moment the door gets open, I come in, she runs. She's not excited for me. She's excited for the outdoor. So the moment the door gets open, she runs out and starts running around. The Bible says we will be like that. It's like you're confined in one place, confined in this cruel world. The time will come where the stall will be open and we will be running around and we will be enjoying the presence of God. You're going to go crazy for what heaven is going to be like, friends. That is what it means when the Bible says we're going to be leaping like cubs. It's like a young cub who's been restrained for the longest time. And now, I'm just free to worship God. Every spiritual blessing under heaven now is made real to every single one of us. We will be like that at the resurrection of the dead. We will rise from the tomb. So at the end of the day, we have to understand this. Are you going to suffer or are you going to be blessed forever? This is not a message of condemnation. I'm just laying out to us these two things that we see in God's Word. And I'm giving us the opportunity here today to receive God's mercy in your life and be like someone who's going to leap like a calf and be excited in the presence of God. It further says here in verse 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Now look at this one. You know what is interesting here in Malachi chapter 4? He starts mentioning Moses, and Moses is famous for the law, right? He's famous for the law. Remember the law of my servant Moses. It also says here in verse 5, behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Talks about Moses, representative of the law. Talks about Elijah, whose message is a summation of all the prophets in the Bible. Let me talk about Elijah for a while. What is Elijah known for? Apart from being the one who can shut the skies. Apart from being a prophet in the Bible. He's known for what? He didn't taste death. Elijah didn't die. It is Enoch and Elijah in the Bible who didn't die. Can you imagine that? He did not die. God sent a chariot to pick him up, brought him somewhere else. Never taste death. Now it says here, there's going to be Moses and Elijah. Now look at this one. The law mirrors how sinful we are. Try to read the Pentateuch. First five books of the Bible, you would come to understand how sinful you are. That is what the law is. Okay, the law points to the prophets, and the prophets point to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's Moses, Elijah. Bible says, when the day will come, Elijah will come. But where is that in the Bible? Look at this one. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Matthew 11, verse 30 to 14. It says here, for all the prophets and all the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Isn't it that the message of John the Baptizer is a message of repentance? Isn't it that all the prophets' message revolve around one thing, and that is what? Repentance. Repent, for the day is near. So it gives us a picture that when the book of Malachi says Elijah will come, it is John the Baptist. It is John the Baptizer. But I don't get it, Archie. In John chapter 1, verse 21, it says here, and they ask, what are they? Are you Elijah, John? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? Are you Jesus? He said, I am not. So how do we reconcile these seemingly contradicting things? Bible says, Elijah is John the Baptist. Here comes John the Baptizer saying, you know, I am not Elijah. Look at this one. You folks remember that after Elijah, there was someone else who came after him. And that is what? His name was Elisha. Elisha only had one prayer to God. Lord, I want a double portion of that man's anointing. And guess what? What happened to him was that he started preaching to people. He started calling people to repentance. He started healing people. And Elijah was as effective as Elijah. Now guess what? The Bible is very clear that the spirit on Elisha was the same spirit on Elijah. So what it says here in Luke chapter 1 verse 7, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. So Elijah here is John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that he is Elijah simply because he is moving the what? In the spirit and the power of Elijah with one message, and that is the message of repentance. One simple message, calling people to repent. Repent from your ways. Yun lang po yung summary. If you look at the message of all of the prophets combined. Let me just end this by saying that at the end of the day, in the eyes of God, everything will be seen. There's nothing that God didn't see. There's nothing that God is not seeing, and there's nothing that God will not see. We can't fool God. We're just fooling ourselves. John's message was a message of repentance. You know, sometimes we think, oh, repentance is such a heavy word. It's a simple word telling every single one of us to turn from our ways and turn to God. You come to God as you are, but you don't remain as you were. Folks, you can't keep bragging to the people around you that you are a Christian, but you live as though you're not. Because it is not just your testimony that's getting marred, but it is the name of the Lord Himself. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament that prepared us for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is the last book of the New Testament preparing us for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like what I said a while ago, that day will come. It will come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Alam niyo po, this is one of those verses that as Christians that we have to be meditating on every single day of our life. We are here simply because of God's grace. Only because of God's grace. Pag tinanggal po si Lord sa buhay natin, walang kwenta po tayo. Walang sinabi yung kayamanan natin. Walang sinabi yung kagwapuhan natin. Walang sinabi yung stature natin, yung position natin. Walang, those things won't matter. What matters is our heart before God. I said this a while ago when we started a message about the book of Malachi chapter 4. I said, not a single sin will go unpunished. Let me repeat that. Not a single sin will go unpunished. You want a good news? The good news is this one. Christ took the punishment for every single one of those sins. Jesus took, He bore past, present, future sins unto Himself. That's why He said, not a single sin will go unpunished. But folks, guess what? If you're a Christian, the punishment doesn't belong to you anymore. He took it from us. So let me just end this by asking two questions. First question is this one. Are you in Christ? Have you repented of your sins, trusted your eternal destiny in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have done that, my second question is this one. For the Christians here, are you living for Christ? Does our life reflect the glory of God? Are our lives attractive enough to draw people into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That when we start preaching the gospel, there's just this integrity that speaks to them as well.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.